This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in me. And now, let's join Bishop I.V. Hilliard.
Now, my technician, I just need a little more volume. After they preach me all this week, I need a little more volume to help me out so I won't have to push as hard. Amen? All right. Now, in the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 31 says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." We've been teaching on this from day one. I opened it up with talking about faith failure, and we began to look at how faith failure is common to the Christian walk. Jesus, though he had handpicked Peter, could not exempt Peter from this testing that he was about to go through. But he does tell him he's praying for him. And he does tell Peter he fully expects him to come through. And then he gives him this charge. He says, now, when you make it through, he didn't say if. He said, now, when you make it through, he says, you have an obligation and a responsibility to strengthen your brother. Now, that's the focus of tonight. We're gonna hang with that tonight. That when you make it, not if you make it, that when you make it, with the tools you've been equipped with the anointing on your life, you're going to go through some fights, but you're going to come through. And when you come through, you have an obligation to strengthen your brother. You know, when I first got, was searching and I wanted to start building, I could not get anybody to show me how to do it. I went to guys who had built churches and they just gave me a tour. I don't need a tour. Right. What are the nuts and bolts of how you go about doing it? Right. One guy told me, "I'll get back with you." Don't get back with me. I'm here right now. Right. We cannot be the kind of family where we learn something and then we refuse to share it. You know, my staff, you know, they say I give away everything, I give away a lot, and I do. But I'll never be without, because I mean, I'm talking about ideas and all that sort of thing, because there's a principle. As freely as you give, you receive. I'm going to always have ideas. I will always have things, because Lady Bridget and I told the Lord, "Lord, if you show us, we will show everybody else." Now, so let's look at this, because tonight I want to just fire you up where you will do as I did one day. I had one of my mentor who really helped me. You hear me call his name all the time, Charles Jackson, Dr. Charles Jackson. I was in a little raggedy building. I can't thank him enough. And if I make it seem like nobody would help me, I'm not being clear, because he helped me. Boy, I tell you, he helped me. Had it not been for him, I don't believe I'd be here. He caught me when I was falling. He caught me when I wanted to give it. I wanted to give it all up. And he helped me. I would go to his church on Monday after my Sunday, and sitting in his office, and he'd ask me, "How was the offering? What do you need?" And whatever I needed to make up the shortfall, he gave it to me. Now, he wasn't keeping a ledger. He gave it to me. Then he said, what do you and Bridget need? And he'd give me something for us. So time went on, and one day, because I'm saying the man, he ain't keeping no ledger. He ain't saying I got to pay him back. So I asked him the question. I said, "Pastor, what do I owe you You know, things have gotten a little better, you understand? I went, what do I owe you? How can I ever repay you? He says, this is how you pay me. You do for others what I've done for you. So not too long ago, one of my mentor's son was going through a church fight. I mean, they was whipping the boy. They was coming after. And I was traveling. I was on the other side of the world on the phone with him, on the phone with his lawyer, working with him. Because he's a young pastor. He had no idea. He was naive, thinking everybody who said he loved Jesus really do. But and so they really fighting him. And I'm spending hours upon hours with him on the phone. And so one day he asked me the question. He said, really? He says, why are you doing this? I said, I'm trying to repay a debt. See, I understand I'm not where I am by myself. Got it? And I want you, no matter where you are in your pursuit of your vision, I want you to leave here with a passion that when I make it, I'm going to help somebody else. Now, our faith struggles, our faith fights, our setbacks, our victories are not our own. They are kingdom investments. Want you to get this? They are kingdom assets. That your victory is not just for you. Your victory is so that now you have a testimony that will inspire others. I done jumped all the way to my clothes. And it is important that you share not just your victories, but your faith failures and how you recovered. Amen, amen, amen. Now, y'all know I'm real transparent. I tell it all. Yeah. Have I had faith failures? Oh, yes. Have I recovered? Yeah, because I intend to bounce back.
Yes.
When we're in a fight, you follow me? I mean, no, that's how God, he defines this whole walk as a fight, a warfare. And if you get in the boxing ring, you're going to get hit. If you got any kind of credible opponent. If you're playing football and you're running back, somebody's going to tackle you. But you get up off the canvas. You get back to the corner and let your cut man work on you. And when the bell rings, you go back after it. So just because there are some setbacks doesn't mean the fight is over. Jesus. You got to have the resolve that I'm going to win. Because at the end of this thing, my testimony is going to help somebody else. That's, you know, that's why we put the picture of the old building up there. Hey, y'all got my building? Well, I can't put it. Can y'all put my building up there? I don't have one screen now. But it's a pretty one. Yeah, pretty screen. If they got my old building. Yeah, there it is. Now, that inspires some of y'all, don't it? Because you say, him, Lord. First, people say, did you have church in there? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right? Now, the whole reason I do this is because I made it.
Yeah.
And if God can do it for me, he can do it for you. All right, y'all, get rid of the screen now. Put my pretty face back up there. Praise the Lord. Now, everybody say faith failures. Yeah, faith fights when you didn't work out like you want. I remember one faith fight I had when I got frustrated with the people. And all pastors kind of get agreement on this. You know, people tell you, I'm with you. And then they go to Reverend Farrell's church and leave you with the bill. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
Well, we had bought this big, nice bus. And we had that building. I had a bus minister. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a 6-6 passenger bus, and I had a 54 passenger bus. And we would go to the projects. I'd preach in the projects, and we'd pick up kids on Sunday and bring them to church. I was the bus driver. I couldn't drive both of them. I drove the 6-6 passenger bus. I was a bus driver. I passed the bridge. We would pass out the donuts. And we have a lot of those kids who are adults and with us still today. But one day I was just so frustrated. I just got, you know, they was, you know, I was, you know, I had a good banker. This banker I was a real good banker. And if I got behind, he didn't bother me. He called me and he let me know. And I called him, you know, let him know how I was going to take care of it. And so, you know, I've been a couple of months behind and sometimes 3 months behind. I'd, you know, work and catch it up and that sort of thing. But this time I was only like a couple of months behind. And I was all frustrated and mad. You know, folks say they're going to help me and they wouldn't help me. I'm growing now. You got to tell them I'm growing. And so I just hold off and just said, I don't care what happened to the bus. A couple of days later, I roll up to the church. The bus is gone. No, no problem, because one of the brothers, he would always take the bus, and he was a mechanic. He'd take it, and he'd work on it. And so I called him. I said, Brother Kennard, you got the bus? No, Pastor. Oh, that's all right. Ray Charles. Ray Charles known to pick up the bus, and Ray Charles will wash the bus. Let me call Ray Charles. Call Ray Charles. Ray Charles, you got the bus? No, maybe Kennard got it. No, I already called Kennard. He don't have it. Where's the bus? So then I get this call from a preacher. Doc! Is that your bus over on the repo lot? On 59? Highway 50. I mean, that was a repo lot right on the freeway. And look, they turned the bus this way. What, my name? I called the bank. I said, listen, we've been. And they said, no, we just tired of it. And da 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 da. And they got the bus. Bridget. Did we ever get that bus back? They repoed the Lord's bus. And I thought about it with my mouth.
Come on, Dan. Come on.
I gave
Come
it up.
On. Yeah.
Lost the fight.
Yeah.
But I learned from the fight. No matter how tough it gets, watch your mouth. Don't let frustration cause you to throw in the towel of your faith. While I was in that little building there, when I first got in there, my mentor was really, he's a builder, so he just knew I needed to build. And boy, he was in my ear telling me to build, let me use, you know, his architect at a discount supposedly. And so here I am building. I mean, getting ready to build. We bought some land right on the corner in the neighborhood. Now, I really want to build because I want to show this church that kicked me out.
Gotcha.
Okay, y'all act like that don't happen. Don't judge me. I'm just trying to help you. So only reason I want to build right there in the middle of the neighborhood is to show them folk. But it was hard, man. It was hard. I mean... The architect messed over us. The grass was cursed. We mowed the lawn in the morning, in the evening. It was hard. So one day I'm talking to the Lord and he said, I'm going, Lord, I'm knowing this will be this hard. People are sacrificing game. And the Lord said, I never told you to build that building. Well, I told the people you did. I told them you did. So you know, Lord, what am I going to do? He said, you're going to tell the people you missed it. Oh, no, no, no. Confession is good for the soul, but bad for the reputation. Everybody said, just stay with him, just stay with him, just stay with him. Because, you know, you can frame that thing differently. That, you know, church, the Lord released us. Because he has greater things and better things. Bless his name. No, God said, no, you're going to tell them that you missed it. Whew. So, Sunday I preached. After church, I asked all the visitors to leave. And members were there. And I said, I need to talk to the members about this. Because they had sacrificed so to buy the land, to invest in the plans, and all that sort of thing. So I told them. I said, now, I told y'all, the Lord told me to build this, but I missed it. Everybody got quiet just like y'all doing right now. And I said, well, I apologize. I told him, I'm sorry. I know you sacrificed. And pastor didn't mean to miss it. But I just got to come clean. I said, I missed it. Now, what I want you all to do is just get in faith with me that we can sell the land, get the money we back because the land had appreciated in value, and get the money that we've invested in it back. Everybody was still quiet, like y'all are now. Then we're in the back. Somebody cried out, hollered out, we love you, Pastor. I broke, y'all. I broke down. I started crying, and they all started crying, and then they surrounded me and let me know they loved me. Well, I walked out of there with my integrity.
Yes, say that. Say that. Say that. Good.
I knew I was a builder. Well, it's evident now.
Yeah.
But I missed it. And I didn't fool the folk.
Yeah,
I came clean.
Nice. That's good.
See, the thing is rebounding.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Hear what I'm saying? It's knowing how to rebound when the faith fight didn't turn out like you wanted it. Who ain't getting no amens on this? I ain't getting no amens. But I'm telling you, it's a part of it. So that's why Jesus is talking to Simon. He said, hey man, I can't exempt you from this thing. And this thing could be catastrophic. Because the Satan, the main man coming after you, he's not sending demons. He himself has requested the showdown with you. I can't exempt you, but I'm praying for you. And because I've taught you the way I taught you, I fully expect you to get through this. Not only do I expect you to get through it, but once you get through, I want you to have a heart to help everybody.
Come on.
Are y'all getting this? Y'all getting this? Now, because it's my victory belongs to him. Everybody say, my victories. Belongs to him. Amen, 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 amen. Now, I want you to go with me to the Bible. Let's look at a few scriptures here as I talk this thing out. And really, I'm just going to exhort you. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We talked about this revelation on strengthening others last night. And we talked about, we're strengthening yourself first, we said. The reason Jesus made it, because he was strengthened. Got it? And there are others who can make it if they are strengthened.
Yes.
Amen. Maybe I didn't articulate it accurately. Folk need to be strengthened.
Yes.
Amen. They need to be strengthened. And God will send people your way, and it's be your responsibility to do your part.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to me?
Yes,
and so he says now, Peter, now when you're converted, I want you to strengthen up. Now what he's saying to Peter is, I'm raising you up to be a difference maker in the lives of others.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
See that.
You get it?
Yeah.
See, you got to see yourself is that whatever you're going through, you're going to have the faith fight you have, but you're going to come out victorious. Because God's raising you up like he raised me up so that you can be a difference maker in the lives of others. Now, let me ask the question, not trying to be arrogant or anything like that or vain, but how many can say, my ministry has made a difference in your life? All right, wait, so my point is, I'm charging you to do the same thing. Now, see, you talk to me, I'm struggling on myself. Oh, no. You're going to get through it. I got a little part in the lesson about that. You got to understand, you are going to make it. So I got to renew my mind on ministry. Because most people's mind on ministry is centered around themselves. Hallelujah. All right, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, church world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So there has to be a renewing of the mind while I understand that when I am helping others, I'm not depleting myself. But I am demonstrating to God that he can trust me. He can invest more in me so I can be a greater blessing. And you got to get that at this stage. You don't wait until, you know, you think you got it all running over. But you get it at the stage. See, Jesus told the disciples when he left, you go into all the world, preach the gospel. They didn't have radio or anything like that. When did he want them to start right now? See, our people, we want our people to be witnesses to help others right now. Then we got to be willing to do the same thing. Because no matter where you are, there's somebody you can help. Your enthusiasm overwhelms me. All right. If you think that salvation is all about you, you're wrong. Now I got to expand on salvation. I'm not just talking about you going to heaven, but the word salvation is so broad because it talks about victory and all that sort of thing. If you think it's just about you, you're wrong. Whenever God blesses you, he has more than you in mind. So I've got to be conscious of that and understand that I'm blessed to be a blessing. But that's for real. That's not just rhetoric. I'm blessed to be a blessing. And God watches you. He watches you. He observes you to see what kind of steward you're going to be over your blessing. I'm not talking about money now. I'm just talking about the wisdom you know. Who have you helped lately? I'm talking about among the brethren. Who have you helped lately? No, you get intimidated. Somebody want to start a church close to you. You go, what you want to do that for? Well, you haven't won everybody in the hood. A guy came, was in the city, and he said he was wanting to put a church. Where's this spot? Yeah. This property right over here. I think they got a dollar store there. You remember the dollar store coming in now? He said, I want to know how you feel about it. I said, I don't feel anyway. I said, I'll just tell people where to turn. Turn by the Methodist church. Now I'm going to use your church as a landmark. I'm intimidated by your... He ain't my enemy. So I told him, no, it's no problem. It's no problem. I'm saying our mentality has really got to change because we can be so selfish with what we know that could help somebody. And I'm just saying, why? I thought we were all on the same team. Really, I thought we were all on the same team. I thought we were all working toward the same goal. And you know something that could help another brother, another sister, then you ought to share it. Amen. And not for your consultation fee. Amen. Everybody say, I'm a difference maker. So in the Bible, we see that God intends for us to touch others, to teach others, to train others. But most of all, I think we don't realize the power of our testimonies. You know, the whole reason I wanted Chad to give his testimony, I hijacked his testimony, you know, the other day, is because you need to hear that it ain't just happening for me. Supernatural stuff not just happening for me. But because in Revelations chapter 12 and verse 11, it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the what?
Word
of their testimony. And so when God does things for you, your testimony is going to help somebody else. Don't discount your testimony. Everybody said, don't discount your testimony. So there's a scriptural purpose for my existence. And that scriptural purpose is that I be a difference maker, that I make a difference in the lives of others. It's echoed all through the Word of God when he talks about us going and being witnesses. But what I'm talking about now is you as a church and as church leaders. Why can't you help other churches? Why can't we help other pastors?
Come on.
Amen. Why can't we do it? The day I was sitting in the restaurant, and a pastor come up to me. I don't know if he's at the conference or not, but he came up to me, and, you know, he wanted to talk. Well, he was kind of afraid. I could tell that. And, you know, I put him at ease and told him, I was at Papado's, and I was eating some of my good food, too, you understand? And, I told him, what's in on you, man? I began to talk to him. He began to ask me questions. Well, I could have just turned him off. But I sensed that was one of those moments that God has set up. And I ministered to him. And when he walked away, he said, I never thought you'd just take this kind of time with somebody like me.
Wow.
But see, he'll understand. I know who you are.
Come on, Dad.
Now, you missed that. You missed
it.
See, your worth and value is not in your stuff.
Come on.
See, and there are a lot of pastors who cater to other pastors who have big churches and that sort of thing. But the Bible says that my value in Luke 12, 15 does not consist in the abundance of things I possess.
Yes, sir.
So I understand everybody called to God got a role to play. And I have no idea what God's going to do in your life. All you see now was in me in the little raggedy building.
That's good.
So people are valuable to God.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, they must be valuable to us.
Yes, sir.
So I'm trying to say is we got to change our attitude toward our brethren and our sisters. But we are all stuck up and, you know, you this, that. Come on now. We don't need to be like that. We need to be touchable. We need to be where people understand. Other pastors can understand. When they look at you, maybe you got a real big church, or maybe you don't have a big church, but a person comes to you. Because there's always somebody, as my mama used to say, there's always somebody a little lower than you are. So if they come to you, genuinely help them, watch this, without trying to possess them. And I'm not trying to step on any toes or anything like that. But if I genuinely help you, I'm not trying to control you, put you in my group. Hallelujah. Amen. See what time? Oh, I'm real. I'm almost through, y'all. Y'all been so smart. Go to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, because it's the order of God to teach by example. It's the order of God, teach by example. I have a saying that more is caught than taught.
Yes.
Having somebody walk in your shadows, having somebody that you'll spend some time with on the phone, follow me, is going to be a tremendous blessing. Amen. People need encouragement. Would y'all agree with that?
Yes.
So Hebrews chapter 12 and chapter 6, verse 12. All right. Says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through
faith
and what?
Patience
do what?
Inherit.
So I follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. See, not only will other preachers need your testimonies, your members need to hear your testimonies. They need to hear that God's moving in your life. Because the principle is that helps them overcome. You know, it's not you bragging, but it's showing them, hey, God is still active in the earth. Now, we saw Bishop Brown's testimony on the screen last night. Now, because I shared my testimony about the plane falling, when that plane was falling, faith was there. Because if God can do it for them, he's able to do it for us right now. See, here's why a lot of folk, this is how the devil tricks people out of telling a testimony. Because people think if I'm under attack, I've done something wrong. So they won't tell a testimony because they say, well, if, it's erroneous thinking. Psalms 34:19 says, many of the afflictions of the righteous, the Lord delivers us out of them all. All through the Bible, just because you're under attack, it does not mean you're in sin, does not mean you're out of the will of God. As long as we're on this earth, the devil has the ability to attack us. Yeah, you know, I had a health challenge. You know, now you don't have to tell people all your business because they can't handle it. But you know, I shared with them. You know, I shared with my church, and Bridget don't like my testimony. She tried to hijack my testimony. Well, see, I'm not going to my testimony, but I tell my testimony my way. She said it didn't happen that way. Now y'all knows it, right? How many knows want to know? Don't admit it yet, huh? Some of y'all just won't admit it yet. Anyway, I said when they found a polyp in my stomach, not in my colon. I said they cut it out and sewed it up. She said, no, they didn't. To me, they cut it out, sewed me up. So she said, that's not what happened. So we have this all the time. I have my version, she have her version. And we have not proven that out. We should have talked to that doctor today. Talked to that doctor because I know what they did. Hey, watch this. How you know you were asleep? I'm not going to ask no doctors in here. I don't need to ask no doctors in here. They cut it out. And so what did it? Okay. Let me move on. Y'all taking up my time. Now, are y'all getting my point?
Yes, sir.
See, you got to be willing to share your testimony because there's power in your testimony. And many times we don't share our testimony because we're ashamed that it happened. The thing is, I've come through victorious. Because there's somebody fighting a similar fight. And they need to hear my testimony. Are you listening to me? So then, the Bible says we follow those who through what? Faith and patience inherit the promise. Now, the word follow means to imitate. That's what it means. It means to imitate. So we model those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. So I got to believe as a difference maker, because I believe that's what God calls us to be, to make a difference in the lives of others. I've got to believe that as God reversed situations for me, he can reverse situations for others. I have to believe that others need to see what's possible so that they can see them coming through their problems. I've got to believe that I'm real special to God.
Yeah, all right.
Everybody say, I'm special to God. Now, so when we look at the Bible, we see people who failed, but we are now, who went through faith failures, but we are now rejoicing because we have their testimonies. We look at Abraham. Did Abraham miss it? You better believe he missed it. Did he overcome? Yes, and he's the father of faith. We got his revised resume in Romans chapter 4. Fully persuaded, he didn't start off that way. But he bounced back. Everybody say he bounced back. Israel at Kadesh Barnea, did they fail? Yeah, they wouldn't go into the promised land. 40 years later, they bounced back. And we're using their whole promised land testimony and experience as analogies for things that we go through now.
Yes.
Jonah, did he bounce back?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he was a little stubborn at first, but he did eventually bounce back. And so we can look all through the Word of God and see people who went through faith failures but bounced back. Even Samson. The Bible says he killed more with that last exploit than he did the whole while. Because he bounced back. So you got to understand, because I'm talking to somebody who's gone through some, who's going through some right now, and you're wondering, can you bounce back? Yeah, you can.
Come on.
Better than ever, stronger than ever.
Yeah.
Don't let the devil tell you that it's over.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Now, in order to bounce back, you have to have a resolve. I want to light your fire right now. I want to light your fire. You got to have a resolve. That resolve has to be so strong that you will not ever quit. You will not take losing as an option. All right, first you got to get over the human factor of we're going to just let things work themselves out. Mm-mm. They don't work themselves out. It's faith that brings you out. We're just going to see what happens. No, we're going to make something happen. Hallelujah. Secondly, you got to get over the humiliation factor. And that's what the devil comes with, the shame. Why you? The reason I can tell you this, I've been through that.
Yeah.
The devil would point at all of my friends who had nice big churches. And now I am in a little raggedy building.
Yeah, Bishop.
And then you're going through your mind and you're thinking, Jesus, why you do this to me? And then I asked God one day, God, why? I knew how some of them fellows was living. God, how you bless them and don't bless me?
Yeah.
God said, who told you that was a blessing? So who told you that was a blessing? So you can get what skill, manipulation, and talent can give you. That does not make it a blessing. You continue to live like I told you to live, do what I told you to do, and I will show you what a blessing is. Am I helping anybody today? Yeah. So let's not get in this competition and comparison game. The Bible says he will pour you out a blessing. Now, when you pour, that means you're directing it. It ain't like God flinging out stuff. It may hit some, may hit others. No. He's evaluating your faithfulness. And he's strategically. And when he pours, he ain't missing. Are you listening? So I got to understand, you are going to bounce back.
Yes, sir.
You're going to bounce back. All right, let me give you these seven things, and then we'll be ready to let you all go. Now, I'll go to Philippians chapter 1. I got to read some more scripture. I just want to exhort you, but I got to read a little more scripture, you know, because I'm a word preacher.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are times, you know, I preach out of my spirit, and I just want to talk. Am I helping anybody tonight? Yeah.
More than you know.
I know how one of my mentors said, drill into me. It ain't over here yet. Hear you, that ain't over.
Yeah.
Hear you, God's going to do great things with you. For I can hear his voice still. I remember looking at his choir stand. He built a 3,500 seat auditorium. His choir stand seat about 300 or so people. And I remember one day walking. He and I were walking through the church, and I looked at his choir stand. I said, oh, Pastor, if God would just give me 300 members, enough folk to just fill up the choir stand, I wouldn't ask him for nothing else.
Yeah, Bishop. Yeah.
He stopped me. We were walking. He stopped me. Said, oh, no, hear you. Choir stand is here. 3,500 seats is here. He stopped and turned this way. He said, oh, no, you'll do far greater.
Come on.
Y'all missed it. I'm in a little blue raggedy building.
Yeah.
And he telling me, I'm going to do far greater. People need to be encouraged. Don't join in with pity parties. When folk are talking, you need to let them know it's not over. As long as you've got breath in your body, you've got fight in your character, winning is possible. I got to have an attitude. And I got to tell you, boy, with the meditation and with him talking to me, I developed an attitude of a winner. Philippians 1:28 says, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident of token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of the Lord." Everybody say, "In nothing terrified by your adversaries." That's the attitude. He said, "Listen, you can't wimp out in the fight. In nothing terrified. I'm not afraid of anything." The devil throw. I went through a fight, you know, with the, you know, just like a lot of y'all going through fights with your banks. I went through a fight with a bank too. Big fight with a bank. One of the biggest banks in the country. And they just said, "We don't want your loan no more." Huh? "We don't want your loan no more." Well, you can't move this, the kind of loan I have, overnight.
Yeah.
Especially when banks don't want to be in church business anymore. And so, you know, we had consultants and all that sort of thing. And, you know, I pay my lawyers to talk. Lawyer talk. And I'd be a little ghetto sometime. And so I was telling one of the consultants something. And I told her, I said, "Wait a minute." Now, I told the banker himself. I said, "You can't go no further than God let you." And because you can't tell them that, so why not? I said, "If God let you go further than I want you to go, he know I can handle it."
Yeah.
I fear no man.
Say that. Amen. Say that.
Well, see, I already made myself of no reputation.
Right.
So what folks say don't matter, so that's no pressure on me. So I'm just open. If you want to fight, come on, let's fight. I don't want to just, you know, we can work this. Let's work it out.
That's good.
But in nothing, terrified.
Oh, come on, Dad.
Everybody say, "In nothing,
yeah.
Terrified." That's the attitude he wants us to have. You don't need to be an afraid preacher, a scared preacher.
Yes, sir.
Nothing terrified by your adversary. If God be for us, what we said, are we going to act like it? All
right,
let me give you these things. Number one, everybody say number one.
Number one.
All right, I got to have a resolve that's beyond compromise and excuses. Quit making excuses for where you are. Amen. Everybody say it's time to press through.
Time to press.
Secondly, I got to have a resolve to win, to bounce back beyond camaraderie encouragement.
Okay.
It'd be good if folk would encourage me, but if they don't, I'm going to encourage myself.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Look, person, say, "I'm going to encourage myself." Yeah, yeah, it'd be good if they would, but I'm going to encourage myself because I'm getting through this.
Yes,
I'm going to bounce back even better.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Well, did you ever bounce back from them repossessing the bus? You haven't heard?
Come on.
I fly helicopters.
Yeah.
By day and jets by night. You haven't heard? Come to transportation?
Yeah.
I got fleets of buses.
See that.
Little person, I say, I'm bouncing back. Come on.
Bouncing back.
I'm bouncing back. Now, and I'm telling you, because see, the Lord already told me you've been in a fight. You've been in a fight, and I'm your cut man tonight.
Come on.
I'm getting ready. I'm getting you ready to go back for the next round. You're going to walk back in church with your fight back, with your swag back. See, you put, I'm talking to you. I could go yay, 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 but I ain't going to go to yay, yay, yay. See, you put your confidence and in your reserves. Now they're gone.
Come on, come on.
Now your whole attitude has changed. Because you, and listen, I'm not putting you down, because God had to help me one day. One day I had a little money left over, and I'm going, I ain't going to never do nothing. Blah, blah. And then, man, I tell you, they called me and told me what the closing cost was. It was all I had. Wipe me out. I'm back down to zero.
Yeah.
I know what it is to live from Sunday to Sunday.
Yeah, Bishop. Come on, Dad.
Yeah, Bishop.
Lay that thing out.
And the Lord told me, say, son, you wanted to start trusting money. But I call you to walk by faith.
Yeah.
Now at that time, I moved out of that little raggedy building. I thought I had made it. I got me an auditorium. That's a church, little church situation now. It seated about 300 folk. I got a parking lot. Couldn't be parked for 12 cars. I got some stained glass windows. I have made it now. You follow me? And I'm ready to say, well done, thou good and faithful sir. I'm ready to stop. I mean, the building may have been 6,000 square feet.
Wow.
Maybe. I'm thinking I made it. I'm ready to stick my sword in the sandy fence of time. Steady. Whoa. No more. But God had much more. Y'all get me now? And I'm saying, you know, God don't want you trusting in the little money you see in the bank. He can do much more. You're going to bounce back and you're going to have more reserves than you had before. And all it's going to do is testify to you that the same God that did it back then can do it again. My resolve to win must be beyond camaraderie exhortation or encouragement, beyond compromising excuses. It must be beyond circumstantial evidence. Everybody say circumstantial evidence. Yeah. I am not going. Everybody say that's why you have to reimagine. Yeah. I am not going to let the circumstances now dictate to me what's possible. My criteria is the word of God. And that hadn't changed. Everybody say what really matters has not changed. Amen. What really matters
has not changed.
Yeah, and so I got to have this mentality and get out of this sad pity party that I'm having. What happened to me? Well, why not you? Peter couldn't get exempt from the fight. Have you walked on water lately? Amen. We got to understand that that's a part of it. And we bounce back. Everybody say we bounce back. It must be beyond convenient effort. I may have to do some things now that I didn't have to do before, but that's all right. I'm pressing. Everybody say I'm pressing. It's beyond critics' embellishments. In other words, the critics will take your good and speak evil of it. Well, if they were so all of that, that wouldn't have happened. Quit listening to stupid folk. We was going through our fight with the bank. I had some members, you know, because they tell you don't tell your people. That's what consultants tell you. You don't tell people. And I think that's done. I'm a very transparent pastor. So, they said, well, if you tell people, they're going to think something is wrong and they're going to leave. Well, you're going to have some folk who leave, but they weren't with us anyway. I got to say, those who are with us cannot leave. Those who are not with us cannot stay. And when you do leave, I will replace you Sunday. Now, that's my confession. I'm going to replace you Sunday. I'm not going to spend time crying and lamenting. And I hope you don't think that's arrogant. But I got to keep moving. I'm on assignment. I can't spend time crying because you decided to leave. Gideon never would have made the victory. Crying over the 22,700. Come on, how many? He had 300. He started off with how many? 32,000. So the 31,700. He could have spent all his time crying over the 31,700. Lord, why me? Why do you all walk off of me? Instead of looking at the 300 that God gave him. And let's go with the goers. Everybody say, we go with the goers. Yeah. So quit crying about people who left your church. Well, why did you go down to Rem Pharaoh's church? I can't tell you why. But you got to go. You don't stand up on Sunday morning preaching them. They're not here. Critics. So, we went to our fight. Man, this guy called me. I think he wrote a letter. In his letter, he's talking about how you never should have. Was it a letter? I'm trying to think. Bridge. That's all right. Go on, do what you're doing. I try to see, you know, the stupid person who wrote me, who told me, you know, I can't call his name. You know, talking about I never should have bought these campers, da-da-da-da-da. Was that a letter or what? Yeah, wrote a letter. Okay. Only read it because I knew him, because normally I don't read stupid letters. I don't. No, I don't. And I'm just telling you, you can't read stupid letters. You can't. And then, you know, I got about halfway through the letter and I closed it up because, wait a minute, you living in an apartment. You never bought nothing in your life. I know your daddy. Your daddy was ashamed of you. And you're going to try to counsel me. So I'm leaving. Well, good riddance. No, I mean that because you're not with us. And I said, God said. And you doubting that God said? When I can lay it out how we got the building worth $41
million.
And we negotiated and we paid $15 million. In an after offering, we raised $2.6 million with members walking up to the mic giving. Put $2 million down. Lakewood gave us a $3 million note with no interest. No payment for 2 or 3 years. A payout in 10 years with no interest. On top of that, they gave us $100,000 a month. And you want to say that ain't God? Then on the $3 million, I called him one day about a year or so later. If we give you $1 million, will you cancel the $3 million, the $2 million? Yes, we will. 90 days later, we gave him $1 million. They kept. You going to tell me that ain't God? Never had a problem paying the note. Never had a problem paying the note. Never had a problem paying the note. And then I get a call from somebody saying, we think you may have oil on the land. I said, don't listen or be swayed by stupid critics. Amen. And I'm really talking to a lot of you because sometimes you cannot read stuff that folks send you. I have a filter mount. They read it because, see, that stuff gets stuck. And I hope you never have to deal with news media. I'm praying that you never have to deal with news media. But you can't sit there and look at them talk to you.
Yes, Bishop.
It creates an image that's hard to shake.
I receive, Bishop.
That's good.
Had one of my sons who was going through, man. He was all on the news. And I called and said, son, let me tell you something. Number one, don't read any papers. And number two, quit looking at it. You can't handle it. So critics will come. But you've got to understand. Persecution has to be endured. God vindicates you by the continuous manifested blessings he pours on your life. My resolve to win is above compromising excuses, above camaraderie encouragement, above circumstantial evidence, above convenient efforts, above critics' embellishments. Watch this. My resolve to win is based on a concept of envisioning.
Go ahead.
Go to Genesis chapter 13. Then I got one more and I'm going to wrap up. Anybody blessed?
Yeah.
Everybody say envisioning. Now here's the key, because if you keep looking where you are, hard to make it. But if you look from where you are, you can make it. Everybody say, you can make it. Yes, indeed. All right. Watch this. Verse 14. Read it early this morning, but let's read again. And the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was departed from him, Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place. I'm in verse 14. Genesis 13, 14. Y'all there? Everybody say from. Look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land that thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Everybody say looking from. Everybody say look from. No, that's the key. You can't spend your time just looking at. You got to look from. You got to plan some stuff. Plan your next vacation. You can't pay for it now, but go and plan it anyway. Everybody say, I'm looking from. I'm looking from. You can't buy the new car now, and you got may have an old raggedy car, but that's all right. I'm going to go look at the new cars now. The new one's coming out. Come on, baby. Let's go look. We're looking from. I wish I could put you in a time capsule and take you back in time. That's what Lady Bridget and I would do. Man, we go look at stuff we know we couldn't pay for. I'd go to the Rolls Royce place. The man saw what I drove up in. He knew I couldn't afford it. The salesman wouldn't even come out and talk to me. And I didn't go mad. I didn't get all that. Well, you don't come out and talk to me. The man knew I couldn't afford it, but, you know, because it's a free country, I can go look at him. I go sit in the Rolls. I'm looking from. I roll up in there and a hoopty smoking. But I'm looking from. So we'd go in and we'd look at nice homes, big, nice homes. I can't afford none of this. But I understand, I ain't going to be in this shape all the way. You got to learn how to look. Am I helping anybody? Yeah, you got to look from. You may be going to the doctor every day, every day, every day, every day. You're not going to be going there all the time. You got to look from. Amen, amen. And then finally, I have to have a resolve that celebrates my expectations before they happen. Everybody say celebrates my expectations. All right, now go to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. Everybody say celebrate my expectation. Ooh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Jonah. Now Jonah's rebounded now because he had messed up. Verse 2, Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Now drop down to verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay my vows that I've paid that I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on the dry land. I want you to get this. See, Jonah starts celebrating. Because he know I'm coming out of this. I don't know how. Digestive juices chewing at my skin. I don't know how I'm going to get out. Are you listening to me? And as he celebrated, God starts speaking to the fish. Whatever has swallowed you up in the midst of your celebration, God starts speaking to stuff that swallowed you up. Stuff that, yes, indeed. Stuff that you don't know how you're going to get out of. You got to have the assurance because I'm celebrating. I got an expectation that God is with me. He always causes me to triumph. I always win. God starts speaking to stuff. Amen, amen. My whole reason is because Jonah understands he's coming out. Everybody say he's coming out. And so as I close this whole message today, I go back with God wants to use my testimony. And the testimony is so powerful, and God wants to use my testimony. He wants to use my testimony because it helps others when they have exhausted all natural options and only the supernatural can deliver them. He wants my testimony to use my testimony when others have been standing in faith with only meager results, yet their harvest is not far away. God wants to use my testimony whenever he gives me a task that is beyond the resources at my disposal. My own testimony helps me because I remember what he's done. God wants to use my testimony because he wants to remind me and others he's still God. And besides him, There is no other. Now, God used one to use my testimony is not a new concept. Church I come out of had songs that talked about your story. Everybody got a story. Y'all remember the song Blessed Assurance? Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Purchased of God. Born of his spirit. Washed in his blood. This my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or a song, if I can just show some, I'm closing here, if I can just show somebody they could be traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living, I wish I had a stronger voice right here, shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. Go back and tell your story. Watch what God does when you tell your story. And your living, your ministry, your existence will not be in vain. God bless you.
Hallelujah. You may be seated for just a few more minutes. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Everybody repeat this prayer after me. Dear God, I know without Jesus I'm lost. I believe your word that if I ask you to save me, that you will. Jesus, take the throne of my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Now, Father, fill me with your spirit and your power so I can live a life pleasing to you. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name, I'm now in the family of God. Amen. If you pray that.